Everybody, just like Noah said, my name's Clayton, and welcome to Clayton's Wilderness Survival School. If you know me, that's pretty funny, the idea of me teaching you guys anything about wilderness survival. But we're actually going to be looking at another example in God's Word of a people who found themselves in the wilderness. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Exodus chapter 12 in the Old Testament towards the very, very beginning. And guys, let me just a little confession time before we get going. I am sitting here up here today because my back is killing me. And you guys get to sit. So I'm like, why don't I get to sit? So I'm sitting down. So here's what happened. I feel like I'm getting super old. On Thursday, I wake up, I go into the laundry room, open up the dryer, and I pull out a towel. And I just pulled out the towel. And my back goes, and I was like, what in the world? I mean, come on. I mean, how many of you guys can relate to that where you're just doing something simple, and as you get older, your back is just, it just goes out. So that's where I'm at today, and it makes me really sad because I have some things that I've always wanted to do in my life. I got like this bucket list of things I want to do. One of the things I've always wanted to do is to climb Mount Everest. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I just love the idea of going to some mountaintop experience and be able to do something that very few people ever get to do. And so the other day I watched this documentary of this young guy who was fit and he had a lot of money and he decided he's going to go to Mount Everest and climb it. And he filmed this entire documentary and I just got to live vicariously through him for a minute. And it was really amazing to watch this guy who he cost about $100,000 to go to Mount Everest and to climb it. And so he had this money, and it's a lot of money, and he went and he flew into Kathmandu, which is in Nepal, and that's kind of the beginning of your journey. And Kathmandu is not close to Mount Everest, but it's about as close as you can get before you got to start hiking for weeks to get to Mount Everest. And you go up to a certain elevation, you wait there to get acclimatized to it, then you go to the next elevation until you get to the base of Mount Everest and you try to climb. And you've got to get all this gear that cost about $12,000 to $15,000. You got to hire a guide and Sherpas that carry all your gear up there, and it's super expensive. But I want you to imagine if you were in Kathmandu and someone shows up who had saved up for years upon years, and they have $100,000 on hand, and they're going to go and try to climb Mount Everest. And they go and they go to these shops that are everywhere, and they buy all the gear. They go and they hire a guide. They hire some Sherpas. They're ready to go. The weather is perfect, and it's going to be this perfect window to be able to go up the mountain. And so they're ready to go. And right before they do, they say, "Ah, never mind. I'm done. I'm just going to stop right here. This is good enough right here. This is a pretty cool place. I'm just going to stay in Kathmandu. In fact, I'm going to open up a coffee shop, and I'm going to celebrate everybody else, and I'll serve coffee to people that are going up the mountain, and I'm just going to stay right where I'm at." And the reason I bring up this example is because we're going to find a people that were doing the exact same thing. In fact, it might be something that a lot of us, in fact, I would say probably all of us, in some way, we're doing the same thing. We're saying, "I'm going to stop right where I'm at." 3,400 years ago, there's a group of people named the Hebrews, the Israelites. And they were living their lives, and there's a famine that happened. They had to come down to Egypt to survive. And there was just a small family, about 70 people, and they began to live in Egypt. And they got really comfortable. It took them about 430 years, but they got really comfortable. Now, they were in slavery. It was an awful moment. But they grew from 70 people to 2.5 million people. That's 30 times larger than our community. Can you imagine what that would have been like if you were with 2.5 million people who you were related to a bunch of them for 400 years? This has been your life. And you were living in this community and you know everybody. You have the best place. You know the best places to eat. You know where the dry cleaners is. You know the places to avoid in town. You know the places to go in town. You know everybody. And this becomes a comfortable place for you to live. Yes, slavery was terrible. And the Hebrew people were subjugated into slavery by the Egyptians. But also it was safe. It was safe and secure. People had jobs. They had food on the table. They had homes where they could raise their families. Then all of a sudden, Moses shows up. And Moses is born, and he's put into a basket in the Nile, and to protect him, his family does that. Pharaoh's daughter finds him, takes him out of the Nile. He becomes a part of the king's family. He becomes a prince of Egypt, and for 40 years, this is his life, but he always remembered where he came from, and he remembered his Hebrew heritage. And one day, when he was 40, he goes back to visit them, and he sees them being just harshly treated, and he kills a guard in the middle of this moment, and it's awful moment, and all of a sudden, he realizes, I've messed up, and he has to flee. So he's 40 years old when that happens, and he flees out into the wilderness for 40 years. And so at 80 years old, God comes knocking on Moses' life and says, I want you to go back. And Moses goes back. There's the 10 plagues that we remember. And all of a sudden, God rescues his people out of Egypt. Imagine that you're one of those families. Your mom or your dad, your grandparent, or you're a kid. And this is all you've ever known. In fact, it's all that your family has ever known. And your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and your ancestors for 400 years, older than the United States, that's all that you have ever known. And you've been living in the same home for that many years. I mean, talk about comfort, right? And you're with all of your people. And all of a sudden, even though you may be living a boring slave kind of life, it's still safe. And then Pharaoh says, you got to go. And Pharaoh didn't say, okay, you guys have permission to go. He says, you got to get out now. And I want us to open to Exodus 12. We're going to read a verse that I would say is one of the weirdest verses to wrap a sermon around, okay? But here's what it says in verse 34. It says, the Israelites, in this moment, when Pharaoh says, get out of here, it says, the Israelites, they took their bread dough before the yeast was added. And they wrapped their kneading boards in their cloaks and carried them on their shoulders. Like, how do you wrap a sermon around a verse like that? But the point of this is that they were in a hurry. They were in such a hurry that they left their sourdough starter. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody, y'all, you got your prize sourdough starter. You got in the jar. And if your house burned down, like, you're grabbing that thing because it's been in your family for generations or whatever. I mean, they had to leave that behind because they had to leave in such a hurry. It reminds me of Home Alone, right? The movie Home Alone, where they wake up late and they're running around like crazy, and they leave Kevin upstairs and the whole craziness of that movie. But it was kind of like that moment where they didn't get to kind of ease into this moment. They had to leave immediately. In fact, it goes on in this passage and says this in verse 17. It says that night, the people of Israel, they left Ramses and started for Succoth. Now, those are just two different towns. Ramses wasn't necessarily a guy's name. It was actually the slave city that they lived in. This was the place that's all that they knew. And they had to leave it immediately. It says there were about 600,000 men, plus all the women and children. So that's where you get about 2.5 million people. And it goes on and says that the people were driven out of Egypt in such a hurry, and that the people of Israel had lived in Egypt for 430 years. This moment is what we're going to talk about today. When God told them, hey, it's time to go. They actually had a choice. They could either stay where they're at, or they could follow God. And I actually think that this was actually way more difficult than we think it was. A lot of us have this idea of this. I know what's been going on in your brains right now. You either got the Charlton Heston movie going on in your brain, or you've got the cartoon, right, of the people leaving Egypt in that moment. But I think it was actually a lot more difficult than we think. The truth is, this morning, is that you and I, we have kind of the same choice that they had. And what we do as Americans is that we spend our life creating comfort. And then we spend the other part of our life desperately holding on to it, right? Half our life is spent creating comfort, creating wealth, creating this good life for our family. And then we spend the rest of our time trying to hang on to that for dear life. Every one of us does that. We spend our lives saying, like, I just need more money. If I had more money, I got more security, I can take care of my family. I need to just improve this part of my life. I need to fix this thing that's going on. And what's going on, the truth is that what's going on is you're just pursuing comfort. Comfort becomes the thing that we chase after as Americans. It's like those of us who love to go camping. But we want to take the creature comforts with us, right? We call it glamping. Anybody a glamper in this room? You know, you're going, hey, we'll go camping, but I'm bringing the fifth wheel, got the double slide outs. It's got the hot water. It's got the satellite TV. I mean, but we're camping, you know. It reminds me of Parks and Rec, the show Parks and Rec. Is a funny show. And Parks and Rec, there's a picture behind it, right, where they had this moment where they went camping in one episode. And Tom is a glamper, okay? And they it's the whole show is based off of this government, these people work in this government agency. And so they're trying to have a moment of team building. And so, hey, we're going camping. And so Tom shows up with all this stuff that he got from Sky Mall, you know, Sky Mall. And he brings all this stuff with him. I mean, he's got like an ice cream maker. He's got a flat screen TV. He's got a full size bed. He's got a massage chair. He's got a Roomba that's like cleaning in the tent. It's really, really funny. You can see some other stuff that he has right there. But he said, hey, I'm going to go do this thing in the wilderness, but I'm going to bring all the creature comforts with me. So here's the question for today. What can I learn from the Hebrews' experience and their time in the wilderness? Here's the first thing that I think that we can learn. It's that the purpose of your life is not to stay in camp comfort. Most of us, we're living in camp comfort. But God does not have that as the purpose for your life. It's not God's plan for you to pursue comfort so you can just live in comfort for the rest of your life. The purpose of your life is way bigger than just the pursuit of comfort. But this is exactly what was happening for the Hebrew people. In fact, just 1 month into their journey into the wilderness, here's where we find them in Exodus chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Exodus 16. And here's what we see. It says that in verse 2, it says that the whole community, so not just some people, but everybody. This was the vibe that everybody had. The whole community of Israel, they complained about Moses and Aaron. They said this, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. Are you kidding me? This was their attitude. They said, this is so bad that we wish we were back in slavery and we wish we, in fact, were even dead or dying in slavery. And they said, there we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. They were longing for the good old days of slavery, which is crazy. Why were they longing for that? Here's why I think it was. It's because Egypt was comfortable. It wasn't easy, but it was comfortable. In fact, what it was slavery to the status quo of life. Of just compromising and just giving in and saying, you know what, this is as good as it's going to get. And this may not be great, but at least it's safe. It may not be great, but I feel like I'm in control. I also call this sedentary slavery. This idea of just sitting in it and saying it's okay, saying it's good enough. And what they were doing is they were refusing to follow God into the wilderness. It's like those of us who actually do go truly camping. You're in your tent and it's super cold. You wake up in the morning and you're in your sleeping bag. You ever had a moment where you breathe out and you can see your breath and you're going, I am not getting out of this sleeping bag. There's no way. I'm finally warm. I've been waiting all night to get warm. I do not want to leave. That's what was kind of going on for these people. They were like, hey, we don't want to go. In fact, now we actually want to go back to our sleeping bag. The Bible talks about this in Romans chapter 12. It gives this idea of what our life should actually be about. Should our life be about the pursuit of comfort, or should it be about something else? Here's what Romans 12:1 says. Paul writes to the church and says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I am pleading with you. This isn't just something I hope for you or an idea or a suggestion. I'm pleading with you to do this. To give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. So what's going on here is that the early church, especially the Hebrew people, for centuries, the way that they worshiped God was to sacrifice animals or grain offerings or all these different oil offerings, all this different stuff. To be able to try to, in a way, please God. But the Bible's saying that's not actually how you please God. The way that you truly please God is you give him your life. Give up your bodies to God. Not just your physical bodies, but your future. Your hopes, your dreams, your plans, the security you want, not just for yourself, but for your family, like trusting in God fully. Here's the truth. There's some of us here in this room or watching online. Your comfort is having control of your life. And ultimately, you've not given your life to Jesus and asked him to be your Lord and Savior, to trust in him. The truth is, Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. And he's asking you to trust in him, to give him your future. Ultimately, to give him your future in heaven someday. The Bible says that he's the only way they're going to get to heaven. But so many of us were hanging on to the controls. And I'm good enough. I can earn my way. I'll figure that out later. This is all on me because this is my life. And God says that is not the way to live. In fact, that is not the way to get to me. The only way is by trusting in Jesus and giving up the comfort of being in control of your life and saying, Jesus, I give you my whole body. I give you everything. And God was asking the Hebrew people to do that. Will you trust me, he was saying. And they had to take a step of faith. And what happened is God, he proved that he was trustworthy. And that's what I love about the wilderness, because trust is actually born in the wilderness. When comfort and control is stripped away from your life, and all you have to do, all you can do, is follow after somebody who's already been in the wilderness, because it can be a scary place. But the cool thing about God is he's like a guide who's been there a million times. He's been up the mountain a million times. He's taken people through their lives who have trusted in him, said, look, let me show you how trustworthy I am and how I can provide for you and take care of you if you will just trust me. And it's almost like so many of us, we're at that trailhead. And we look up at the mountain and you're like, man, that's scary. I'd rather just go back to camp. But there's a good guide who's saying, will you trust me? Will you trust me? In fact, that's what he was asking the Israelite people. Look what happens in verse 4. Even though they were complaining and saying, I wish we could just go back, here's what he said. The Lord said to Moses, look, I'm trustworthy. Watch what I'm going to do. He said, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. What happened is he sends this thing called manna, which is like this flaky bread, which was sweet and it tasted incredible. And for years, this just came down from heaven, and quail as well. So they had bread, they had meat. Like, what else do you need, right? You know what I'm talking about? And so God just like provided for them in this incredible way. He says, look, I don't care if they are complaining. I'm going to still follow through on my end of the bargain. I'm going to be there for them. And then he says this, and I will test them to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. He's saying, I'll provide for you, but will you follow me? And that's the question for us. Will you truly let go of the thing that is so comfortable to you? Will you let go of control of your life? Maybe it's your kid's future. Look, guys, I've got a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old, and I'm scared to death, right? Anybody else? Like, I'm just scared to death about their future and what's... I want to pave the way. Every parent's like that. We want to pave the way so that they have this future. In fact, we find so much of our identity in the success of our kids. You know what I'm saying? We find our identity that we will chase after that. We want their life to be comfortable or more comfortable than our life. Like, can I let go of that and trust God with it? Can you? Can you trust God with your finances? Or you say, you know what, God, thank you for saving me, but I've got this from here. This is mine. I earned it. I got all these things that I need to do with it. And the truth is you're chasing, most of us are chasing after the things that are just comfortable in our lives. Instead of using our wealth, using our time, using our resources for God's glory. I think some of us need to let go of some habits that we have. You might say, well, that's just how my family's always been. This is who I am. I'm going to keep these things because they're kind of comfortable for me. Kind of gets me through the day. The Lord's saying, will you trust me? You got to let go of that camp. You got to get out of that camp and you got to trust me. Look, God is worth following. He's someone that you can trust. But look, if we make comfort our God, here's what's going to happen. We're going to miss the wilderness. Now, you might say, Clayton, I don't want the wilderness. Let me tell you, the wilderness is awesome because that's where we get to truly experience God. Most of us think of the wilderness as a bad thing, but the truth is that that's a good thing where we get to see and experience God and know him in a deeper way. And get this, we get to experience the wonder of him working in our lives. I think this is something important to remember, that where camp comfort ends, the wilderness of wonder begins. I know it sounds kind of cliche and a silly statement, but something easy to remember, that some of us need to get out of our tent and we need to move outside of camp comfort and trust God in the wilderness. And here's what's going to happen. He promises that he'll be with you and show you incredible things that you would miss if you stayed in camp. Think about the Hebrew people. Think about what they would have missed if they had stayed in Egypt. They would have missed the Red Sea parting. Come on, guys. Like, seriously, how incredible would that be? I can't wait to be in heaven someday and talk to those who were there and say, what was it really like? I mean, that was an incredible moment in all of human history, the parting of the Red Sea. They got to experience that. They got to experience this pillar of fire at night that went in front of them to provide light and safety and give them a guide during the day. It turned to a pillar of cloud, which is kind of cool. I don't know what that looks like. I mean, we're from Oklahoma, so it's probably a tornado, you know what I'm saying? So they had like a tornado in front of them, and so they got to experience a God leading them. They got the manna and quail like we talked about, and then when they were so thirsty in the middle of this desert, it's rocky, there's nothing growing. Moses strikes this rock, and all of a sudden this river of water, this beautiful, fresh, clean water comes pouring out. Can you imagine being someone who took their cup out that is dusty and hadn't been used in a long time and fill it with that kind of water? What kind of experience that would be like of trusting God? He comes through in an incredible way. When they were morally off while they were in the wilderness, God gave them the Ten Commandments. If they were in Egypt, they would have missed that. Can you imagine being someone on the plain in the desert and all of a sudden Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments? You got to experience that, which changed all of human history. And when they needed God's presence, he gave them the tabernacle. Tabernacle is not the temple. The temple is like a permanent thing in Jerusalem, and the tabernacle is just kind of a foreshadowing of that. But they had this giant tent that God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build this. It's going to be a place to come and to worship me. And he says, my presence will be with you. And so every single time that they picked up their tent and they would move to the next place as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, every single time they put the tent back together, it's this crazy thing that kept happening in the Bible. They're like, God's presence will go boom, like right down on top of the tabernacle, and they could see and experience God's presence. If they had stayed in Egypt, they would never got to experience those things. It's pretty awesome. Trusting God in the wilderness, not being scared of the wilderness, but see it as that's actually where God is. And I want to be where he is. Here's a final warning for all of us who are followers of God. It's something that we tend to do a lot is we look back and long for going back to the way it used to be. My final warning to us is that, look, we need to never look back. There's some consequences to looking back and longing for comfort again or this false comfort or control of our lives instead of fully, completely, every single day, trusting in the Lord. That's what they did. They failed to do that. And God punished them. They never got to experience the mountaintop. They got to experience the mountain. They got to experience the wilderness, but they did not experience the mountaintop. You know what the mountaintop was for the Hebrew people? Promised land, right? God was saying, here, I know you've been in slavery for generation upon generation. I am giving you this land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be your place forever. I'm promising it to you. And these guys, they didn't get to experience it. Every single person who got to experience the parting of the Red Sea, they died in the wilderness. They didn't get to experience the promised land. Their kids got to do that, but they didn't. And the reason is because they were just following God, kicking and screaming. Here's a great example of that. I know none of you did this because you guys are all great parents, but anybody ever, when your kid was like a toddler, and they were just a little too rowdy and a little too untrustworthy, that you put like a harness on them and had the leash? Anybody? Like took them to like a ball game or amusement park or see, like that's what goes on. Like we do that sometimes because we got kids, they're too big to be in the stroller, but they're too little to have responsibility of following after you. And so you gotta follow. You gotta say, hey, nope, go this way. Nope, go this way. And if you have multiple kids, you know, chain them up together. You ever seen people like that walking through? It's because they don't trust their kids, because their kid is going to go off and do their own thing. And this is exactly what's going on with the Hebrew people. They were following God, but they were doing it kicking and screaming. In fact, the Bible talks about it and warns against this in Psalm. So Psalm 32, here's what it says. It says that the Lord says, I will guide you. Do you trust me? I will guide you. I will guide you along not just a path. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and I will watch over you. I will be there with you. So do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. My translation for that is, don't be like a little kid that needs a harness and a leash. Okay? That's what the Hebrew people are doing. Look, don't be like them. What are you controlling in your life you need to give up to God? What comfort are you pursuing that you put in place of God? Don't be like them. Don't long for those things. Instead, long for God. And start trusting Him. Start trusting Him with your future, with your financial situation, with your health, the decisions you need to make. And for some of you, you need to trust Him with your salvation, because you're never going to earn it, even for all the good things you've done. I wish I could make it up to Mount Everest. With this back, there's no way this is happening. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine the thrill of making to the top? So few people ever do. But here's something I know about the people that make it up to Mount Everest, to the top. Every single one of them had to get out of their tent and climb. They couldn't stay in camp comfort. Every single one of them. And for your life as well, you'll never experience the mountaintop if you stay in the tent. If you never stay where it's comfortable, where it's easy, and giving in to the status quo. Look, it's slavery to comfort. God's saying, will you trust me? Will you follow me? Look, the wilderness can be scary. It really can. And it can stretch you. But let me just say this. It is actually where God will transform you the most. And you get to experience some incredible things, some breathtaking things. And so here, I don't know where you're at, but here's my encouragement to you. Whether it's control or comfort, or probably it's both, this week, I want you to pray and ask God, what do I need to change? Where in my life do I need to tear down the tent and roll up my sleeping bag and grab my gear and grab my family and say, God, we're moving forward and I'm going to trust you. Here's what I know is true. And this is God's promise for you. If you'll trust Him, He'll always be there. And He will lead you in an incredible life where you get to experience God taking care of you like never before. And if you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here's the truth. You'll get to experience that mountaintop of heaven with Him for all of eternity. He is worth following. He's trustworthy. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are trustworthy and you are good. I pray for anyone in this room who's never put their hope in you, never truly stepped out of their comfort zone and their zone of control, where they're trying to live their life for themselves and trying to earn their way. I pray for anyone who's never taken that first step, and maybe today might be the day where they would repent of their sins and turn to you. Say, God, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins, but I also want you to be my Lord. Every single day, I want you to change me. I want to walk with you. I want to trust you for today and for the future. I pray, Lord, for all of us who would say we've done that, but we keep looking back. We're chasing after comfort. We're chasing after control. Lord, help us to lay those things at your feet and to trust you. That we be on your side. That where you go, we would follow. What you call us to do, we would willingly say, yes, I trust you, God. I may not be able to see the end, but I trust you right now. Help us, Lord, to follow you. because you are trustworthy and you're a good guide and you're God. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name.